Teachers have to navigate a lot of different needs in their classrooms. And when Adam Stumacher was teaching English as a second language in South Boston, he had a student who struggled to read because of severe dyslexia. As part of WBUR Edify's ongoing series, Lessons Learned, Stumacher describes how he tried to help a student, nicknamed Junior, starting with a freshman English as a second language class.
On the first day of school, he walked into the door of my classroom, and the first thing he said to me was, "Why the hell am I in this class? I already speak English." So Junior, like, pretty much entered my classroom pissed off. Anytime in class when the work we were doing involved reading or writing, he would create a massive disruption. He would do things like, it was the middle of winter, and he walked over to a window and opened it wide, and everybody freaked out. They're like, close the window, close the window. And he's like, "I can't breathe in here." Or stand up and spout out hip-hop lyrics at full volume. He was just angry. And I think, like, he didn't quite understand what or who he was angry at, but I was, like, the closest, like, figure of authority nearby. So I was on the receiving end of a lot of that anger. It was incredibly frustrating, especially because, like, I had to be mindful not just of Junior's education, but of the education of every other kid in that room. And he was making it impossible for all of us to do the work that we needed to do. There was one moment towards the end of the year when I finally connected with Junior. I asked my students to analyze the lyrics of their favorite song. And Junior gave this beautiful, incredibly perceptive analysis of the song "Sing About Me, I'm Dying of Thirst" by Kendrick Lamar.
When the lights shut off and it's my turn to settle down, my main concern, promise that you will sing about me, promise that you will sing about me.
And I remember him, you know, standing in front of the class and saying how he thought that this song was about him and his family and his neighborhood, and it was also written for them.
I woke up this morning and figured I'd call you in case I'm not here tomorrow. I'm hoping that I can borrow a piece of mind. I'm behind on what's really important. My mind is really distorted. I find nothing but trouble in my life. I'm fortunate you believe in a dream. This orphanage we call a ghetto was quite a routine. And last night
it was bittersweet because it was too late, right? It was June. The year was basically over. You know, he got an A on that project. That was the only A he got for the whole year. He failed my class. So fast forward to his senior year. He enrolls in my creative writing class. And I remember seeing his name on the roster, and I was shocked. And, you know, if I'm being honest also, I have to admit, I had a moment of fear. Because I remembered how he had completely destroyed an entire year. You know, I pulled him aside in the hallway, and I was like, "Junior, you know that this class is, like, all reading and writing. It's, like, all that we do." And he's like, "Yeah, I like to write." What I witnessed was a total transformation. So he sat front and center the entire time, and he did every single assignment. He filled, like, notebook after notebook with these stories from his life and poems. He was amazing. But the one thing that he would not do was to participate in our class readings. At the end of the school year, for the final project, we made a class book and had everyone choose what they thought was, like, their strongest piece they'd written all year long. Junior was working on this essay about his cousin getting shot. This wasn't just his cousin, but it was sort of his hero and his mentor. A really heartbreaking essay, right? But he still wouldn't, you know, read it aloud. We had a book release party in the school library. Everybody was going to, like, read the piece that they had put into the book. And I was like, "Junior, this is a beautiful story. Are you going to read it?" And he wouldn't commit either way. He wouldn't even look at me. And I knew what that meant. And I knew what I had to do. I've been playing jazz sort of in the background, right? And so I go over to the stereo and I switch it to "Sing About Me, I'm Dying of Thirst." As soon as he heard the beat drop, he looked up and met my gaze and just gave me this, like, slight nod. And that was when I knew that he was ready to step up to the mic and tell his story.
Drugs and four fives, I count lives all on these songs. Look at the weak and cry, pray one day you be strong, fighting for your rights even when you're wrong, and hope that at least one of you think about me when I'm gone. Am I worth it?
It was a pretty emotional moment for a lot of us in the audience, you know. I felt ashamed when I looked back. Here I was telling him, are you sure you want to do this? And here I was assuming that he was going to cause a disruption. It was a really important lesson to never give up on a kid. Like, no matter what has happened in the past, to let it be in the past, and to just sort of persevere with, like, the belief in their capability and in their brilliance in the now.